How a couple of investors went from zero to four rental properties in less than a year. Yes, it can be done. That's today's episode. Let's dive into it. Hey, everyone, I'm Clayton Morris. Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show. And freedom fighters out there, I'm excited about today's show because the folks that we have on the show have literally done exactly what I preach here every week on the show, which is take action, become real estate investors, put fear behind them, and figure out all kinds of creative ways to take action. So I couldn't be prouder to welcome my guests on the show. If you're new to the show, this is a show about passive income and building that cash flow and spending more time with your family. I don't care about real estate. It's four walls and a roof. Get a new furnace, new water heater, update the countertops, paint, carpet, make sure the windows are good, roof is good, electrical's good, plumbing's good. Place a tenant in that property. It's not going to win any Southern style home design awards in a magazine. It's boring. It's not flashy. It's passive income. And it's the number one way to build wealth. It's real estate investing. And that's what we talk about here on the show. My two guests today have four rental properties now. They're about to pick up a few more. We're going to help them take even a greater step. I love these case study episodes. You can sort of walk us through your fears and the things that really have crept up. My guests today are Shania and Jabari McLennan, and they are a couple. And they've been real estate investing for less than a year. And I'm super happy to have you guys here on the show. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Clay, for having us on.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Now, I should mention Shania is on her lunch break, so she may have to duck out and dive back to work. But we'll get to that in a moment. I want to hear a little bit about, obviously, your journey and how you guys got started. But first, I want to say, you know, Jabari, you sent me an email a short time ago, working with our team. You had sent me an email and said, my wife and I started purchasing real estate in the summer of 2017. And this year, 2018, we're set to have a minimum of 12 properties. My wife and I have been married for 6 years, really look forward to starting a family and wanted to make sure I'm not away working to provide for them. I love that. So you're not having to drive 2 hours to and from work in order to provide for your family. We're currently at this moment have four rental houses, and I'd love to talk about the fears and the things that we've had to overcome. So that was really the email. That was the impetus for us having you on the show. Has anything changed since that email?
No, I think the fear is still there, but in light of that, you just have to take action and look back and realize that you're making good decisions for not only yourself now, but later on in the future. So
Shania, be honest. Whose idea was it to start real estate investing? I know Jabari's sitting a little closer to the microphone right now, but was it your idea? Was it his idea? And did you guys have some kind of friction there at all? I love hearing the couple side of this whole thing.
Well, it was my idea.
A while
back, actually. And I guess Jabari was a little bit more slow to pick up or pick on, and he wasn't sure about it. And I'm the type of person, like, let's just figure out as we go. And he wants to know everything before we start and then do it. So he's more like analysis paralysis type of guy.
Right. So that's amazing. So, all right, Shania, tell me a little bit more about that. How did you come to the decision to start? And then, honestly, if you're listening at home and you're a married couple, partners, there's typically one person in the relationship who is the friction, the analysis paralysis. Maybe it's the engineer in your family who just wants to read everything they can for 2 years and doesn't take action. So, Shania, for you, what was it? What initialized your taking action in the first place, or knew that real estate investing was an answer for you?
Well, I listened to several podcasts, but most of them did talk about investing in real estate. And actually, it was your podcast I started listening to, and then I told Jabari about it, and then he actually listens to it more than I do now. every book or whatever I've read, it always says, and it makes sense, the best way to accumulate wealth was through real estate, and most millionaires did it through real estate.
And you guys have taken action. You now you have these four properties. Do you see now, Jabari, like a light at the end of that tunnel? Because at the beginning, it's scary, right? Do you see now you have this plan in place? You want to start a family where you can be around playing soccer in the backyard with your little girl, your little boy, right? You can be there for them.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, at the end of last year in December, I look back and I just kind of, you know, as we all do, reflect from the year, and I talk with my wife. I'm just like, I'm so glad that we actually did go forward and purchase these properties, because it's for me and having a mentality of always have to work, work, work to provide. And although I work more mentally than physically to acquire those properties, it was a relief as you sit back and like, wow, this is actually paying off. So yeah, I can see the results from it and I can just see the award that's going to come later down the line as we continue to move forward.
So talk a little bit about that fear that you had in the beginning. What did that fear look like? It sounds like, you know, that Shania was, you know, I don't know how you overcame that fear. Both of you talk about it a little bit. Was it a struggle or did you, you know, when you were sitting there wrestling with the numbers or you were sitting there thinking about, well, look, I've got a 401k or I've got this cushy salary. Maybe this is not for me. What were some of the things that were running through your mind?
Well, Clay, started from the beginning, me and my wife were two former college athletes. So we came out of college not having any debt. And we picked up on principle from Dave Ramsey, you know, all debt is bad. So that's kind of the mindset that I moved forward with pretty much raising our family. And when we first got married, my mentor who is in real estate now, he gave me a book by Robert Kiyosaki, Who Took My Money. And he said, you should read this. This is pretty much what started. This is what allowed me to start off and start and get to the point where I'm at. And I read it and I was just like, totally like, no, that's dumb. I wouldn't ever do that. Why would I take a mortgage out of my house and just all this? Like, but I just kept reading because he told me to, but everything that I read, it was just against the core value that I was pretty much instilling, just getting out of college. So, and when we got to that point where I was like, okay, we have to do something because what we're doing is I'm gonna be tired and I'm just pretty much never see you, we'll never see each other. And I would say, Clay, it was never a time when I said I was 100% ready to, fear was gone. It still is here today, but I realized after a while, After continuing reading Cash Flow Quadrant, I've been a big guy wanting to start my own business. I just realized and looked back and say, well, people who were really successful in life took more risks than to try to take little risks. And that's really a reality I had to come to grips with. And I will always have that, you know, take action in my mind. At the end of the podcast, I'll say, take action. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it. We're gonna do it. We'll go for it. So that's just really been something. It's just kind of that mental battle, just going through the lies that fear tell you. And really, to be honest with you, none of the things really ever came true that we thought it was going to come true.
Isn't that always how it is, though? Fear is what? False evidence appearing real, that it never actually exists. It never really is there. We make up all of these stories, you know, dating, right? You think, oh, this person didn't call me back. Maybe they don't like, you know, or you go down a deeper rabbit hole. Maybe they're injured. They're not calling me back. I wonder if the flight landed, you know, and you start to create all of these narratives that aren't real. It's actually, the truth is way more boring, right? We create these sort of movie dramas. Shania, talk about the fear. I know you were ready to kind of jump into it, but did you have some fear, some reservations also about taking action?
Yeah, I guess because we were so on Dave Ramsey so much, it's like taking out, I mean, having just a whole bunch of debt. And that's, and now we know that it's debt, but it's debt that's working for us. So that was my only concern, was the debt part of it. But as far as going into it, that it wasn't a fear for me going into it. Things that I know we're gonna have to deal with, tenants that comes along with everything. But the only thing that was really a fear for me was the debt part.
So that's amazing. So you already came to peace with, you know, because we hear all kinds of different things. Like at our company at Morris Invest, we talk to different investors who are just getting started. Some fear might be, oh, I'm worried. What happens if there's an eviction, right? Oh, well, guess what? You get a new tenant in there. You have a team that takes care of that, puts a new tenant in there. Well, what happens if, and there's all of these what ifs. So for you, your what if was, okay, the debt. Now, tell me about that. You took out, what, a mortgage or a home equity line of credit on your current residence? Is that right?
No, actually, on our first one, we did a construction loan.
Okay.
So we didn't have to put any money down. And then we just had a few repairs. And that was our first one. And then after that, we did like the burn method. We took the equity out of that one to purchase the second one.
And that's been great for our new construction too, the properties we're doing, because people have been able to, you know, buy them and then immediately pull the equity out of them, basically get the full amount back and able to roll that right into their next property, which has been, you know, a great strategy. And I always say, if you're planning to do the BRRRR method, you really want to look at those properties that are slightly more expensive, perhaps in a B class, you know, property that you can, that will appraise nicely, because there might be more of a retail buyer experience in that neighborhood where there are comparables that have sold on the multiple listing service. A lot of the problems people get run into when they buy a $40,000 or even a $50,000, no, I mean mostly $40,000 home, which make up the bulk of my portfolio, is that a lot of those are sold off market. So there's no multiple listing service. There's not being sold by realtors. So if you pull up a list of them, hundreds of them are sold off market, often without even prices attached to them. But I know they're valuable, right? But maybe a bank that's going to send Joe appraiser in there from, you know, 50 miles away, they're not going to have any data to work with. So is that kind of what you did with that first one? Was it more of a B class that you were able to pull some equity out of?
I think it was a combination of B and C class. It's actually located to downtown where we live. And so that was one of the reasons we really were attracted to that, because they are really working to improve the downtown area. So we're thinking, hey, well, why don't we find something in this area? Because people who move to this town is always going to want to be close to the downtown area.
Right.
So that was one of the reasons that we chose that as our first house.
Yeah, that's my favorite. And so like, yeah, our new construction B, they're B. But they're, you know, in C neighborhoods, right? So you're able to build next to, and plus you're getting that development of downtown. And so that's a really smart strategy that you guys employed. So I love that. And I want to talk a little bit about strategy going forward. So you mentioned kind of refinancing some of these that you've been able to pull more equity out of, which is great. Where do you see yourself going over the next 2 years to get to that number of properties that you mentioned in your email to me? You wanted to get to, what is it, 12 properties, right, in the next year?
Yes, absolutely. So part of it is going to be us just pretty much making sure that we're structuring each loan that we have and be able to use that BRRRR method to roll it into the next property that we do purchase. And a little bit pretty much at the beginning is us just setting aside maybe some little funds to make sure that we can cover maybe a down payment of 10-15%, because we have a great relationship with some of the local banks that we made here recently. So that's kind of been the method we've used, and just making sure that we're managing our money and making sure that we are staying open to the next property, not just settling on what we have, but just always having a game plan for the next one.
Today's episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Oh yeah. Are you in need of great talent for your business, but you're short on time to find that person? Well, I know that we go through that here at Morris Invest. You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools, and that's what ZipRecruiter does. So with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you don't have to go through all 100 job boards. You can do it with one click. I love that. You can rest easy knowing that your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work. So it's actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting. So they're going to get a notification. So you'll receive the best possible matches. Then that's why ZipRecruiter is different, because unlike other hiring sites that are out there, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It goes out and finds them. I love it. So it's no wonder that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. That's been our experience here at Morris Invest as we expand. So ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. I stand by it. We use it. We love it. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And get this, my listeners to this podcast, you can go and post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. For free. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/investing. ZipRecruiter.com/investing. So one more time, get it for free. Try it out. Post your jobs on there. You have nothing to lose because it's free if you use this URL, ZipRecruiter.com/investing. Thanks, ZipRecruiter. I want to talk about some of your debt structure right now. What are you looking at? I know, Shania, this was your big fear thing, was the debt piece of this. So describe for me, what does the return on investment look like on your first one? What is the debt that you're carrying on that first one? And describe the other three in a snowball process for me.
So the first one, the cash flow we got from it is, it wasn't great, and I look back at it now, and I think we could have did a little stuff different, but it was our first one.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, with that construction loan.
But it's great. You learned, you know, you did it yourself. You got this, you know, you did it in your own backyard. You took action on it, which is great. So it's a great learning curve lesson for you, you know, and maybe the cash flow is not great, but the appreciation and equity play is good, you know? Yeah. So yeah, don't be too hard on yourself on the cash flow. I did the same thing with my first one. So I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. But I think that was a little bit higher. I can't remember the exact numbers.
So the equity on that one it wasn't much. It was right 2 to 3, and then we learned from it was like 2 to 3,000. And so we learned actually, I believe I was our third house. We finally got it. I said, okay, let's purchase this property. And actually, we didn't use our money. I was reading one of the Robert Kiyosaki books, and he said, well, you know, learn how to use other people's money to be able to use their down payment. So what we did, we actually got a line of credit we had opened that we just said, hey, we need to use this. And we actually put it down 10% on this one house that we purchased. It was funny. This house was pretty much on the market like for 2 days. And I pretty much left work. I said, look, we need to get this house. It's pretty much in a great market. It's pretty much everything is done to it. I said, we have to purchase this. So I could not focus because I was going back and forth with the negotiating. But after we got that house and we used that down payment, come to find out, we had $22,000 in equity that we just created pretty much at that time. And so that was the one that we were most proud of. And now we've used that same method to continue to roll into our next one. So and now it's getting to the point where we're having a minimum of, I think, about $8,000 to $10,000 in equity on each house that we have. From there. So the first two was the building blocks. But now we've learned how to look at the numbers and make sure we have the equity to roll it into our next one. So now that it's pretty much not much coming out of our pockets.
Talk a little bit about the structure. It's very exciting. And you know, Jabari, you've been like a dog with a bone. I know how that feels. You're like, I'm on it. I can't even focus on anything else right now. I got to get after this property. It's for, you know, I mean, I'm the same way. My wife's like, all right, let's do it. So the real estate part can be exciting. I like to say that it's not that exciting because it's just, you know, four walls and a roof. But once you start to see that cash flow from those first few properties, it's very exciting. But then there's so much more complexity that needs to go into making sure you're building legacy for your family, right? The LLCs, your entity structure, your taxes, all of those things. I want you guys to talk a little bit about that. So have you started taking those sort of advanced ninja strategies that we talk about here on the show and start putting some of those pieces in place?
Yes.
We actually have two LLCs. So because we only put, I think our first four is under the first LLC, and then for the next two that we're about to close on is under our new LLC. So before we started, we created an LLC.
Great. Great. And then have you set up like a holding company yet that those LLCs report up to?
Not yet. Yeah. So we're constantly learning. So that'll be something we want to make sure we understand and move forward and
learn. My advice to you would be, you know, get with a lawyer company. You know, I can send you stuff. You know, we'll put it in the show notes for this episode. There's a company that we recommend that you know, work with, but they do great stuff. So there's any law firm that can do trusts or set up these entities properly. You need to work with them so that they can report and talk to each other. Because if you set up a holding company LLC, it might be taxed as an S corp, et cetera. But it needs to be able to talk to those individual LLCs that hold your properties the right way. You can't just hope that they're talking to each other, you know, sure. As a pass through. So the cash is just passing through those LLCs to your holding company. It adds an extra layer of liability protection, you know, against something that unfortunately might happen. Which also brings up the next question. What about insurance? How'd you guys set that up?
We use our local real estate insurance. Local insurance that we have with our car automobile. We sat down and talked with him and we said, hey, well, we need to make sure that we have the proper insurance for our rental properties. And they said, okay, great. So this is we've sat down with him each time. Do you have anything?
No.
Okay. So we sat with them each time and just make sure that we had the right coverage. And I believe the coverage that they said to have is on the value of the house. So, that's what we will have on each property so far at this point. And I know we have to go through a little bit of adjustment. I have to sit down with him. He said, because if we get to so many number of properties that they have to kind of transition it over onto,
because he said it's no longer considered a hobby after five properties, it's no longer considered a hobby. So basically he said, we take the seals off the individual policies and put it under a, I guess, more of like a business policy.
Mm-hmm. More of like an umbrella. Yeah, that's what exactly. Yeah. So that's what we did not too long ago as well. Once you get that number of properties, opening it up as an umbrella policy. Typically, you know, I don't know how much, you know, if it's cheaper, more expensive, but it offers you broader protections for your company. And then I think that your main holding company, LLC, would hold that umbrella insurance policy. See, again, you know, it's passive income, but there's a lot of work, right? So you guys are experiencing this right now that, yes, you're creating passive income and cash flow, but you've got some legwork to do, right? You don't just get to sit back and be lazy and just, you know, right, watch Netflix every day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very true. I mean, me and my wife, I mean, I just turned 30 and my wife is 28, turned 29. So we're young enough to we're OK with doing a little bit of legwork. But we know later on down the line, we want to turn it into a little bit less work for us. So we're OK with, you know, getting some of the mistakes in right now, failing so that we can understand as we make a transition to maybe bring somebody in to make sure that they're overseeing this, that we understand the ins and outs and the terminology that goes along with what needs to be done, what don't need to be done. Therefore, it's no question or no errors in the future.
That's great. So what's next for you? I know funding. You're going to be looking at some different avenues for funding. And you mentioned before in the pre-interview, we're talking about, you mentioned Fund and Grow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So right now we are speaking with Fund and Grow, and we're actually talking to Glenn with your team and making sure that we can get everything set up with Fund and Grow first. And then from there, we'll go ahead and get with Glenn and finding a property. So I'm excited to figure out what exactly we would get approved within that 20 to 30 day process with Fund and Grow, so that we can know how to move forward and get it with Glenn and your company. So that is really one of our goals. And mainly because me and my wife has been doing a lot of, you know, hands-on work with some of the property here in town, which is fine for us. But now as we start learning and we understand, like, if this way that we can implement or buy into another system that works and right, that we don't have to do as much work in, let's learn more about that so that we can make sure we are constantly not just overworking ourselves.
Yeah, the Fund and Grow process, and I would recommend, you know, because we've teamed up with them so that our people that listen to our show and who work with us, I think they've raised over $20 million now for our clients for our company, which is amazing to me. They sent me the list. I literally looked through the list of clients we have and I said, holy smokes. And the number was over 20 million. But we've partnered with them. So you'd save $500. And I think it's a few thousand to set up, but they give you $500 off if you go through our website to do it. And then they spend some time. You can even talk about this process a little bit, but if you just go to morrisinvest.com/funding, you just sign up that little form, you'll save $500 off like your sign-up fee. And they only charge you if they get you money. So I know for Natalie and I, they think I got us like $170,000 to work with, to purchase properties with, using 0% cards. It's very creative how they do it. So 0% interest. And then after a year, obviously you'd want to structure it so you're able to pay that back. And then the interest would adjust after that. But that's the idea, is you'd buy something like, you know, a new construction property or something that you can pull money out of, the equity is there, and you pay it right back, and now you've got a property free and clear. So take me through that process a little bit. When you talked to the folks from Fund and Grow, what did that look like? What did they tell you? What was sort of the initial consult that you had with them?
They were, I forget the young lady name, but they were very friendly. They were very friendly, answer all my questions, did not make me feel like, out, they were pressuring me like, right now you have to do something. No, they just right, make sure, hey, any questions, reach out to us, here go some interviews and explain more of the process, because I was on the phone with them, my wife wasn't, so we got the email. And they just pretty much, I had a question more about the refinancing, you know, after we purchased the property later down the line. And she went pretty much, she did everything she could possibly do to try to answer that question. She put me on hold, and then she actually forwarded me back to Glenn, and where Glenn said, hey, you need to go and watch the Burr method for Clay, because that will explain a little bit more of the process that you're actually going to be doing later down the line, which helped us get together and now really understand. So now we're just trying to figure out later down the line who will we partner with to do that refinancing.
That's great. Yeah. So we've got a video on our YouTube channel on the Burr method. It's me in a winter coat is the thumbnail, you know, because it looks like you're freezing. So the idea is buy, renovate, buy, renovate, refinance, rinse and repeat, basically repeating the whole process over and over again. So you're pulling that equity back out again, but you need to make sure you're getting properties that can do that, you know, that you can actually pull that equity out of. So a B class, you know, or B and C, as we talked about earlier in the show. So yeah, that's great. That's how, you know, Fund & Grow is able to do that. And it's such a killer strategy to be able to do that and pull that money back out and utilize that and roll that into your next property. So I'm curious to hear how that will all work for you. They have a number of different strategies that they let you pull the money out of. I think they use a gold strategy. They use a number of different strategies to get you the cash in your account, and then you can roll that into real estate. So, you know, we've had a lot of people that have had done great things with them. So, you know, it's one of those things that came around a few years ago. I said, this can't possibly work. You know, it sounds like that's too good to be true. Wait a minute, I can get 0% business credit cards that I can borrow, I can take money out of, purchase real estate with, and then pay it back, and then no one gets hurt in the process. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's something that you definitely, it's hard to wrap your head around, because it's, I think for us particularly, like, you know, if you do something, you want to know the results immediately, and, you know, and you always used to having your hands on, but it's just like, no, you actually are allowing someone else who understand it much better and can do it better, because they have team, like they said, that help negotiate to help you get the max amount. And it's a pretty fun process from everything I read up on it. So I'm really looking forward to moving forward and taking action on that and figuring out what how much we actually get approved for.
Wonderful. Well, what's next for you?
Right now is just to continue to educate ourselves. Every Friday I get together and I have a group of friends that play the cash flow quadrant game to just continue to mentally train myself, because as I told you, I constantly have fears, but my fear now is, okay, let's go either read or let's go play this game so you can remind yourself why you're doing this and how to do this. So I just think that it's just taking it slow and doing that, because I've seen how it have been rewarding and I want to continue how to be rewarding and then start helping others understand it, because mostly for us, being a part of a minority background, I don't have that many people that I can go out and talk to about this, especially our age. I mean, our age, you know, you're usually out, you know, partying, hanging out and doing all these things. But for us, it's just like staying at home, reading and just making sure we're understanding what we're doing and why we're doing it so that we can move forward and build legacy and make time for each other and then time for helping others who really want to implement this and learn and do something bigger for their family than what they're doing now.
Wonderful. Well, you know, well, my friend, you are an inspiration. I love these stories where people have just taken action. You've overcome some fears and you've just, you have a meteoric rise already. So I couldn't be prouder to know you and for you to have shared your story with us here on the show. Thank you so much, Jabari. And Shania, who had to duck out from her lunch break. She's gone.
Yeah, she wrote that. Well, thank you, Clay. I'm inspired by everything you're doing, pretty much from leaving Fox and now doing it full time and just continue to having little ones. As I know, you just had one not too a few months ago. So very much enjoy pretty much the back and forth you and Natalie do offer on a podcast. It does make me smile and think about me and my wife, because it's completely different. So I'm thankful for you guys and what you're doing, and continue to hear, look forward to all the rest of your podcasts and everything you have moving forward to continue to help build my financial IQ and give me confidence as I move forward as well.
Well, I love it. And you're already taking action. You've done some great stuff. Jabari, thank you so much, and continued luck to you. And we'll be happy to help you. And the whole team here is happy to help you as well.
Thank you, Clay, very much.
And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. See, that is how it's done, my friend. A lot of fear, a lot of little voices in the head. Dave Ramsey, you know, debt, what am I going to do? How am I going to take action? And Jabari and Shania took action, and they've got their first four rental properties, and they're well on their way to financial freedom. I'm super excited about it. We publish this show multiple times per week, and we have a great audience here. We have a great archive of episodes to go back and check on and learn from. The Burr method that we talked about, refinancing, if you wanted to do that with B-class properties, all of those things. So take action, go out there, and become a real estate investor. We'll see you next time, everyone.